into Jerusalem. My scripture is Matthew 21, 6 through 11. My text is Matthew 21, 8 and 9, which states, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Behold is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The coming of Christ was described by the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah 9:1, "When Christ would appear in his glory, it is in his meekness, not in his majesty, in mercy to work salvation." As meekness and outward poverty were fully seen in Zion's king and marked his triumphal entrance to Jerusalem, how wrong covetousness, ambition, and the pride of life must be in Zion's citizens. They brought the ass, but Jesus did not use it without the owner's consent. The trappings were such as came to hand. We must not think the clothes on our backs too dear to part with for the service of Christ. The chief priests and the elders afterwards joined with the multitude that served him upon the cross, but none of them joined the multitude that did him honor. Those that take Christ for their king must lay their all under his feet. Hosanna signifies, "Save now, we beseech thee. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But how little value is the applause of the gospel of the people. The changing of the Lord joined the cry of the day, whether it be Hosanna or crucify him. Multitudes often seem to approve the gospel, but few become consistent disciples. When Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Some perhaps were moved with joy, who waited for the consolation of Israel. Others of the Pharisees were moved with envy. So various are the emotions in the minds of men upon the approach of Christ's kingdom. Christ found some of the courts of the temple turned into a market for cattle and things used in the sacrifices, and partly occupied by the money changers. Our Lord drove them from the place, as he had done at his entering upon his ministry. John 2:13-17. His works testified of him more than the hosannas, and his healing in the temple was for the fulfilling the prophet, the promise that the glory of the latter house should be greater than the glory of the former. If Christ came now into his many parts of his visible church, how many secret evils he would discover and cleanse, and how many things daily practicable under the cloak of religion would he show to be more suitable to a den of thieves than a house of prayer. The cursing of the barren fig tree represents the state of hypocrites in general, and so teaches us that Christ looks for the power of religion in those who profess it, and the savor of it from those that have the show of it. His just expectations from flourishing professors are often disappointed. He comes to many seeking fruit and finds leaves only. A false profession commonly withers in this world, and it is the effect of Christ's curse. The fig tree that had no fruit soon lost its leaves. This represents the state of the nation and people of the Jews in particular. Our Lord Jesus found among them nothing but leaves. And after they rejected Christ, blindness and hardness grew upon them till they were undone. and their place and nation rooted up. The Lord was righteous in it. Let us greatly fear the doom denounced on the barren fig tree. As our Lord now openly appeared as the Messiah, the chief priests and scribes were much offended, especially because he exposed and removed the abuses they encouraged. Our Lord asked what they thought of John's ministry and baptism. Many are more afraid of the shame of lying than of the sin, and therefore scruple not to speak what they know to be false as to their own thoughts, affections, and intentions, or their remembering and forgetting. Our Lord refused to answer their inquiry. It is best to share needless disputes with wicked opposers. Parables which give reproof speak plainly to the offenders and judge them out of their own mouths. The parable of the two sons sent to work in the vineyard is to show that those who know not John's baptism to be of God were shamed by those who knew it and owned it. The whole human race are like children whom the Lord has brought up, but they have rebelled against him. Only some are appearing to be fair in their disobedience than others. And it often happens that the daring rebel is brought to repentance and becomes the Lord's servant, while the formalist grows hardened in pride and hate. The parable of the wicked husbandman plainly sets forth the sin and ruin of the Jewish nation, and what is spoken to convict them is spoken to caution all that enjoy the privileges of outward church. As men treat God's people, they would treat Christ himself if he were with them. How can we, if faithful to his cause, expect a favorable reception from a wicked world or from ungodly professors of Christianity? And let us ask ourselves whether we, who have the vineyard and all its advantages, render fruits in due season as a people, as a family, the separate persons. Our Savior in his question declares that the Lord of the vineyard will come, and when he comes, he will surely destroy the wicked. The chief priests and the elders were the builders, and they would not admit his doctrine or laws. They threw him aside as a despised stone. But he who was rejected by the Jews was embraced by the Gentiles. Christ knows who will bring forth gospel fruits in the use of gospel means. The unbelief of sinners will be their ruin. But God has many ways of restraining the remainders of wrath, as he has of making that which breaks out overflow to his praise. May Christ become more and more precious to our souls as the firm foundation and cornerstone of his church. May we be willing to follow him, though despised and hated for his sake. Jesus came to this earth to die for our sins. Therefore, let us live to glorify him in all we do and say. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Be Thankful. Our gratitude glorifies God as we exalt not the gifts, but the giver. No matter what you ask God for, you need to ask with an attitude of gratitude. You can ask God for whatever you need, but do it with a thankful heart for what he's already done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A lot of people want to know God's will for their lives. Here's step one. Be grateful. This is God's will. First, be grateful for what God has already given you. Your life, mind, freedom, food, clothes. Everything you have is a gift from God, so be grateful for all of it. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, it does not say to give thanks for all circumstances. There is a big difference. There are a lot of things in life you should not be thankful for. For example, evil. It says to give thanks in every circumstance, not for, because God can bring good even out of bad things. There's a lot of bad in the world today, and these days you can see more of it than you think you could bear. You shouldn't be grateful for those things, but remember God is bigger than sin. He can bring promises out of pain, blessings out of suffering, joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity, beauty out of the ashes of lost dreams, and he turns crucifixions into resurrections. God transforms the bad things in your life into good things and uses them for good. You can be grateful in everything for several reasons. First, God has a plan for your life. He can use everything in your life for good. The pain is not going to last forever. And if you know Jesus as Savior, you're going to heaven. And he's going to use even the hard things in life to build your character. Do you know what will help you to be thankful in all things? When bad things happen, don't ask, "Why is this happening to me?" Instead, ask, "God, what do you want me to learn from this?" When you learn from God, then you grow more like Christ. Then you'll be able to better see how he is working in your life and give him thanks in all circumstances. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But be encouraged, because the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and take purposeful action for his glory. Life is full of uncertainties, but you'll find that God's grace is sufficient, and trust in him is never misplaced. Stay encouraged, my friends. Be thankful and keep looking up. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.